shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that those who served in the temple were admonished to be of clean hands, Lord, and today it's even greater admonishment that we should be not only of a cleansed heart, which we look to you for the cleansing by the blood, but there should also be a cleansed mind, rid of every thought that is humanistic and every thought that is inspired of the enemy, giving way to only those thoughts which are of you, Lord, and which have been proven to be your thoughts by vindication. Bring our minds in control this morning to your word, that that word may be loosed within our souls and then that positively come back upon our spirits, whereby then our spirits can be kept and we then would be body, soul, and spirit fully sanctified unto you by the living word of Almighty God. So our Father, we look to you today to cleanse us, even as we're taught to pray, to pass the blessing on the food, to cleanse it by the word. Lord, we pray today we shall also be cleansed by the washing of the water, and therefore be set before you, Lord, as chosen vessels. Help us in this hour to discern the truth, to receive the truth, and then allow that same truth to course through our very spiritual veins, Lord, bringing forth the life that we are admonished to have, walking in the light as you're in the light and having fellowship one with another, the blood cleansing us. And what a blessed day this is, Lord. We know that in this hour, that even as you said that Pentecost it'd be, we would know that we're one with you and you one with us. And we stand on that today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 6 of the spoken word as original seed. And as we study all Brother Branham's messages, and especially this series of the 3 sermons which are actually on spoken word as original seed, we must never forget the cardinal truth that Jesus himself uttered concerning the Pharisees. He said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So therefore there is a worship which doesn't do people any good. And, yet actually that worship, if you want to see a little bit about it, you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says, "There, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." In other words, there are people that worship God through the charismatic influences. And they're no more acceptable than nothing, as we find in the book of Matthew, where Jesus says many will come in that day and say, "Have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead?" And he'll say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." And then he says, "Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, then I have all faith, I can move mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing." So it tells you right here, in more than one place, that you can worship God and be completely rejected, completely fooled by whatever's motivating you to do these things which seem to be wonderful, and all you end up is in debt. And not only in debt. Now, this is a tragic thing. You not only end up in debt, but it seems that those who attempt to be the most insightful and the most industrious, the most consecrated, will be the ones that receive the greatest punishment. Now, that's tough. "There is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate. Few there be that find it. 8 souls made the ark." "It's hardly possible that a rich man enter." Now these seem like very rich people. They stand in the book of
Revelation, the third chapter, were rich in Christian goods. We don't lack a thing. We're really wonderful people. Now, this of Matthew 15, in vain do they worship me, having for doctrines, having for their teaching the teachings of men, is out of Matthew chapter 15. And we could read 1-8. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying. Now, the scribes are those that simply deal with the word on the basis of letter perfect. They write it down exactly as is. And, of course, the Pharisees were the exalted ones. They were the great teachers. Rabbi, rabbi, teacher, teacher. The Pharisees out of the holiest city, the great hub, the great center, came and said, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? We're insulted because we made certain stipulations. And those stipulations were based on the word, but carried away from the reality, so that now they're even counting the number of nails that you might put in your shoes in case you had your shoes too heavy and you're working too hard on the Sabbath. They've gotten to the place in their divine love and compassion and their great spirit of worship. They've gotten to the place where they condemn Jesus because he healed on the Sunday, the Sabbath, rather. And he said, isn't it strange that you condemn me, yet you will have pity on an ox that's fallen in the ditch? Sure, because the ox meant money. Or at least roasts on the table. But where was their compassion for the poor guy that needs healing? See, the thing is this, they couldn't produce it, so they said, nobody's going to produce it. And your medical association, America's the same way, and the government's the same way. And they don't care two bits if you're dying of cancer. They'll make merchandise of it and say, oh, those poor people, we must give them more billions. And all the while, they turn down somebody like poor old Dr. Budwig in Germany, who proved she could cure cancer just by using proper linoleic acid, which are oils. Well, we can't have that. Now, these are a bunch of mercenary golden calf birds, let's face it. How come, they said, they dare to eat without washed hands? And he said, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now, that's right. Take him out and kill him. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor and honor his father and mother, he shall be free. In other words, they wiggle around it. Just like the First Amendment. Destroy prayer in the schools, destroy everything, and quote the First Amendment. The very thing that was meant to protect us, they're using it against us, right? Oh, come on. United States is finished. Why do you think Brother Branham stopped praying for it? Thus have ye made the commandments of God in effect by your tradition. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We might also read the book of Mark. And in Mark, the 7th chapter, we would read, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain scribes, which came from Jerusalem. That's the headquarters of the denomination, organization, when they saw some of the disciples eat bread and defiled. With defile, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. What they should have said, listen, this is my food with my dirty hands. You know, the fact of the matter is those disciples had dirty mitts and clean mouths, and those rascals had dirty mouths and clean mitts. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. It doesn't say anything about the Word of God. It just says about tradition of elders. And when they came from the market, except they washed, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels on the tables. Now listen, that's the Word of God. There's certain things right in there that they based on the Word of God, but they took a plumb off where God intended it. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold your tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Now that's the thing right there. That is the killer. They rejected what was vindicated to them and kept what was not vindicated, what was their own. Now remember, every man to his own. That's scriptural. Yes, sirree. You will gravitate to exactly what you are from your beginning. Now we're talking about seed, spoken words, original seed. And we're right now to the place of what? We are to the place of the seed of God and the seed of the serpent. Now for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, you shall be free. In other words, they wiggled around it and made as though they were doing a good thing and doing it. But ye suffer, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things you do. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Now notice what the evil heart produces first of all is the thought, is the thinking. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things come within and defile the man. Now all you got to do is cast in your mind certain things right in there, and you can understand right there that people are manifesting themselves just exactly according to the word. What's in them? See? Already what's in the person comes up. You know, just like the old saying is, the man did not become a thief when he stole. He already was a thief, that's why he stole. These things are very evident right here. So we're looking at this scripture here where Brother Branham is teaching us we must never get off of that word. Now notice, in this, Israel did not repudiate the word. Now see, here's the tricky thing where you get to understand that the end time is religion. It's not politics. Communism is politics. That doesn't rule the world. You're not looking at judgment because of politics. You're looking at judgment because they're off the word. Brother Branham himself said, if I weren't born again, I'd be a communist. I would too, because I've got compassion for my fellow man. But it's not going to do any good, because everybody must learn to work for himself, and communism is nothing but a weak scapegoat system. Russia wants to go back to it in certain areas, and some certainly will go back to it. There's no way, because clay and iron are mingled till the second coming. You're not going to change the word of God. But this is religion we are dealing with. Okay, in John the 9th chapter, where I want to go. And in verse 28 to 29, listen to what it says. Then they reviled him and said to the man that was healed, "Thou art Jesus' disciple. We're Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke unto Moses, but as for this fella, we don't even know where he came from, but what we're going to try to make sure we know where he's going. Because we'll send him there." See? They did not repudiate the word. And this is why you have Christianity as it is at the end time. There is no repudiating of the word per se in total. And you notice where all the money is. Everything in the Commerce Department, everything in the world is in two hands, the Jews and the Christians. And the Christians are all whores and whores' daughters. Christians. See? You can't buy and sell pretty soon. So what good is it if the Arabs have the oil and they don't have the wheat? For the first time, they're going to say, "Okay, smarty pants, a barrel of oil for a barrel of wheat, or you die." We can even burn our wheat and cook a hot dog. But you can burn your oil with no hot dogs, how are you going to eat? See, they're going to control everything. It's not that the word of God is repudiated. It isn't repudiated. What it is tremendously misunderstood and absolutely how would I put it? The people absolutely determined to pervert it. Coming from the worship of King, the scripture said, "If thou hast offered right, but if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned?" This man, Cain, was using an absolute scriptural sacrifice. And he refused to change his thinking about it and the way he handled it and responded to it or carried it out. And so God said, "You've offered right. I can prove it by the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." So, if Abel's offering was more excellent, then Cain's was excellent. There was nothing wrong with the offering. It was good. It was fine. But it was in total rebellion to the true understanding and revelation. So, this is what you are seeing here. So please don't get carried away with your own thinking. Bring your thinking in line to the truth. All through this message, Brother Branham is speaking of a perversion. A change. You have to have an original to have a counterfeit. All right. Now in all seven church ages, there are seven divinely revealed word messages by seven messengers. Beginning with Paul, we have the full word of God by correct revelation by God himself. In Galatians, the first chapter, we've been over this many times, but it never hurts to repeat because this way you begin to memorize it. You hear it so many times. 1:11-12, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ himself." All right, go back to Acts 20. And in Acts 20, you're going to find where every fivefold minister, every born-again person that God puts in authority in the church, and everybody in the church has to listen to this. 26, 27, Acts 20, wherefore I take you to record this day. Put a record, put it right down. I am pure from the blood of all men, absolutely free. Why? Because I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've held absolutely nothing back from what God gave me to give to you. Therefore, I am free. Now, Paul didn't have to do one more thing. Listen to verse 28 to 30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, now that you got the truth that I've delivered, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now notice how the blood and the word must be together, for the blood is not efficacious. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after. And sitting right there were people that purported to be and testified to be a true bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. After Paul was gone, they couldn't argue with Paul because he's vindicated. After Paul was gone, they began sowing their spurious, death-dealing seed, arguing. Anybody can argue and mess around after the prophet's gone, but he's coming back one of these days. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. Then let's find out all these goodies. Huh? Oh, sure, that's the Bible. He's not going to stay down there forever. He's coming back. If he doesn't come back, forget it. You got to have a typo somewhere. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Would to God you'd bear with me a little in my folly. Indeed, bear with me. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, what's her chastity, and how does she become unchaste? How does she lose her virginity? What is her act of fornication? Adultery. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. In other words, absolutely brought her down morally into a terrible state. So your minds. Now, the mind is the spiritual womb now. Hers was a physical womb, but was reserved for the word child, and she went into a physical corruption. Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, another gospel, and so on. All right. With that, verses 13, 15. You see, 2 Corinthians 11 is a repeat of Acts 20. I guess you caught on to that. For such are false apostles. They're corrupting the bride and getting her pregnant with all this junk, or trying to get her pregnant. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. See, there's no vindication. There's nothing to show that these fellows have a right to teach what they're teaching. They're not teaching what Paul taught. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Who came to Eve? Satan did. Because he's talking about that in the first verses above it. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end should be according to their works. That's why they love to come behind me and say, you know, Lee is way off and we'll put you right. Well, if you want to be turned to that, that's okay by me. Because I've always said 8 people make the ark, and if everybody believed, and even preachers believed as I believe, I'm believing wrong, I can tell you right now. The longer I live, the more I find out they don't believe like I do. Since they simply don't. Now, though the first church age fornicated by her mind, and the church fell away from the word into adultery, thereby idolatry, the bride by predestination survived as she believed her message of the hour and was not guilty of changing the word, though she did not at times understand it. She was of that mind. That's why you'll notice that when John the Baptist came to Israel, he came to turn the hearts of the children of the fathers, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, which means those people were not disobedient in the light of correction. They just didn't understand. And when the opportunity came to be corrected, they were happy to believe. The bride is always that way. Now, this went on for all six ages previous to Laodicea, which is the seventh age. Now in this seventh age, we have the Pentecostal age, wherein the latter or harvest rain falls, and at the same time the teaching rain also. So that at the end time, in the period, where there is guaranteed this manifestation of the sons of God, the end time, the finally coming up to the end, the great climax of the ages, there is to come forth a teaching rain and a harvest rain, which means at the time of the harvest, it'll be peculiar because there's two rains. The teaching rain comes, and the latter rain falls upon it and actually brings forth the harvest that is spoken of at the end time. And you'll find that in the book of Revelations, where the vine of God is harvested and the vine of the earth is harvested. Where the wheat and the tares, it's the same thing. So there has to be then a teaching rain and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon that word and upon everybody, everywhere in the world, no respect to persons, it can happen to anybody, anywhere, in order to ripen what is already there in the people. Now, because the people are the seed carriers, the earth, the good earth or bad earth, whichever it may be. All right. So now, at the seventh church age or Pentecostal age, wherein the latter or harvest rain falls, and at the same time the teaching rain also comes forth again, as it did originally, fulfilling 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Now, don't let anybody kid you about our understanding of this scripture. Because it tells you right here, in verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In other words, the very testimony of Paul, the very teaching of Paul, which had already gone off track in 2 Corinthians. So they were teaching a Jesus that Paul didn't teach. They were receiving a spirit that Paul did not minister to them. How can a man minister the spirit? Well, if he's not preaching the true word of God, and you get the true seed, how's the true Holy Ghost going to fall upon you? No way. Well, I know people disagree, but I don't care what people disagree. I've got the word to back me up, vindicated by Brother Branham. The next thing is there's a different word from what Paul preached. So the time of this manifestation, there has got to be a reteaching by vindication or forget it. Now, you think anybody but us is going to believe that? Don't be ridiculous. Oh, bless God. I believe Paul. Hallelujah. Well, what did Paul mean? We got 18 million people out there with 18 million different ideas of what Paul said. Let's find somebody that can tell you what Paul said and what it meant. That's going to be a man like Paul, like Brother Branham said, just think the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. I wouldn't settle for anything less. Not if my life is based on it. Now, on page 16, paragraph 2, Brother Branham talks about the possibilities of this great harvest age rain and what it could have brought forth, but failed to do so. Well, let's read it. They have to manufacture something. In other words, they can't wait. They simply can't wait for God to come on the scene. They couldn't wait back there in the day of Paul. They couldn't in Irenaeus, Martin and Columba, Luther, Wesley, and the Pentecostal age. They couldn't wait. In other words, they couldn't ditch what they had because they felt it worked real good. In other words, you're right back to the American precept. If a little is good, a whole lot is better. That's all. That's all. Hey, this thing worked. Hallelujah. All we need is a whole lot more. See? You know something? Comes a time like Paul on board ship. You give up the ship and throw yourself in the ocean and trust to God you're going to go to shore. Live, die, sink, swim. You know something? That saying is peculiar to the 20th century former rain falling to be set on fire and matured by the latter rain. No other age had what we have because they kept looking and we're to the place where we don't look anymore. And this is where we're getting criticized right now. Say, Brother Vail, why aren't you looking? I'm looking exactly what the prophet said to look at. You're the guys that are all messed up. Why are they so anxious to get me messed up? Man, I must be pretty prime target, hey? Wowee, I must be very important. Well. Not the way I figure it. They can't wait for the Holy Spirit to come and get into the church. See, they already figure that this is the age that says, hey, increased in goods and don't have a thing. And he said, you better come and get some anointing material. Oh, no, we're anointed already. We got the Holy Ghost. See, they have to get more in their denomination. Now, that means more people and more of what they got. What word they're in, what spirit they're in, and what Jesus they're in. Just get more and more and more. If it had stayed the way it was back yonder 100 years ago or 50, if more like 50, he shouldn't have said the 100, I guess. When Pentecost first started out in this latter day, see, 1906, when the word began to be preached, see, one God. Now remember, the great revelation of this hour is there's one God. Now they begin to get a whiff of it. And they went right off a base. And Brother Branham said, we are not one. Yet why are the people who are supposed to believe this message that came up in Jesus only are still Jesus only in their doctrine? How come they can't agree and understand that Brother Branham said God talked to his own son when he said, let us make man in our image? And that's exactly true because God had his own image, then he made Jesus in his image. So therefore, if anything came forth in the image of both, it was the image of God. In our image. You think that Jesus only is going to attribute that to God saying that to his son? No, that's God talking to himself. Sure it is. According to them. Now then the son becomes his own father. That means the idolatrous picture of the woman bearing the baby on her lap, the caption says, the son is the husband of the mother. Sheesh. I thought I heard some pretty peculiar things. That's one of the niftiest I've ever heard. Now, if they'd have stayed with that, when that word began to break, she probably wouldn't have had over 50 members today. That's right. Now watch, they would be blood washed. Now notice the word in the blood. They had the power of God in them. The world would be shaken under her tremendous impact of the word flesh being spoke word by word. What's he telling you? He's telling these people it's just like they hadn't bypassed their theophonic or their word form. Fully commensurate now. To bring forth everything that was in them, which was of God and in them. But today, why it is a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's right, just become nonsense, a laughing stock or block, a disgrace to the world, a disgrace to God. Brother Branham is talking about Pentecostals. from 19:6. And yet he said they were the cream of the crop. My heavens, if that's the cream of the crop, what is the milk like?
Yeah.
There again, you're back to the soup made from the shad of a chicken that starved to death. See? Now, this condition here is the Laodicean condition of Revelation chapter 3. And there's no way to recoup it that anybody could possibly think of, except, bless God, this used to work. We just need more of the same. Yeah, more consecration. I'd like all of you here this morning to reconsecrate yourselves to get green eyeballs. Why don't you? Well, Brother Bailey, it can't be done. Neither can this be done by consecration, meditation, deliberation. Ends up in nothing but frustration. Ain't going to happen. How's it going to be done? Well, God says, I'm going to send Elijah. Oh, come on. Don't give me. Hey, man, all we've ever heard is that Elijah junk. Don't give me that stuff. Come on, bless God. I got Jesus. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Word. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the thing, what's wrong. I just ain't with it enough. This is everything I need. I just ain't with it enough. Now, that's what they're telling you. Pharisees, that they've done it for seven church ages. The present bride brought out of idolatry through the message, vindicated message of the vindicated prophet by the manifested vindicated God. These people are the only ones that can even begin to qualify because they said, hey, let's start over and get right back to the original. Everybody says, let's press on with what we got, and bless God, somewhere, somehow, we will get enough juice to get us out of here, to get over those walls and to break through in the great glorious rapture to the wedding supper. Hallelujah. I got news for you. It won't work. Not going to work. All right. Now listen, Brother Branham will now take us to the place here. Well, I read this here. That's what we need. And he said here that if they had stuck with that word, see, they'd had the power of God in them, the world would be shaken under her tremendous impact of the word flesh being spoke word by word. He's telling you that that is going to happen. It could have happened. It should have happened. Why didn't it? Because you've got a perversion. Wrong Jesus. Wrong word. Wrong spirit. How wrong can you get? And it's being built on. Even with some truth being restored, you're still off. See? Now, had they taken the word that came, and remember, the major revelation was there is one God. But Jesus ain't his own father. Sorry about that. That's not, you can't do that. Brother Branham blew everything they said higher than a kite. Now remember this, they came and said to him, Brother Branham, what did Jesus mean when he said, he that seeth me has seen the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. I'd have rocked their boat right there. Oh, blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy. That's as cute as an old Joe Raskaby quoted me because I just read Brother Branham who said, the prophet is the living word of God manifested. One guy said, blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy. So Joe said, just a minute. He opened the book. You better know what the prophet is saying before you approve or disapprove. You better know your doctrine. Oh, yeah, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever born a woman, ever lived. They said, "Who are you, son?" He said, "I'm Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1-2. And here I am, the Word of God in human flesh. Take a good look." And they said, "Oh, no." And the Pharisee said, "I wish I'd have thought of that. That's really quite cute. And very, very interesting. Huh? You think I'm lying? That's why they quote Brother Branham. Won't give him credit. Very cute, very interesting. We'll make something of it." I quote Brother Branham day and night. In fact, I read everything he says and talk about it. I love it. Because anybody going to try to credit me with this message? I could never get that if I lived 4 million years right in the presence of the Almighty, because I wasn't called to it. I reread it. Now, what I read here is the thing that had the potential, had the seed, had everything here, but something must have happened because it went off track. Now let's begin to see if Brother Branham is authentic in what he's saying here. They have to manufacture something. They can't wait for the Holy Spirit to come and get into the church. See, they have to get more in their denomination. See, they're moving away. If they'd stayed the way it was back yonder 150 years ago, when Pentecost first started on this latter day, when the word began to be preached, if it had stayed like that, she wouldn't probably have over 50 members today, that's right, but they would have been bloodwashed. They'd have the power of God in them. The world would be shaken under tremendous impact of the word, flesh being spoke word by word. Today it's sounding brass. All right, you want to know all about that? Now, come on, where am I going to turn? Now, Pete was here, Pete would know. But Pete's not the only guy that knows the word. Come on now, where am I going to turn? Now, if you don't know Hebrews 6 by now, you sure have failed to listen to me for the last 10, 12 years. Let's read it. Let's go to perfection, if God permit. Let's go to the wind-up, the finishing. The epiphany, the blaze of power, the maturation, the saturation. Let's go. And remember, Pentecost is looking for this. They had every right to, and they blew it. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. How does enlightenment come? The entrance of thy word giveth light. And have tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come. Now watch what happens. They blew it. Everything is there. Huh? Everything is there. Why didn't the church get it? They blew it on the word. They blew it. So, well, bless God, let's go back and repent and ask God to do it over again. Sorry, no dice. Now, no, you got this thing all messed up if you think repentance is going to do it. You're like the guy that raised up his head in hell and said, "Lord, I'm sorry. He said, "Too late. You had your chance. I gave you the chance to sell your goods and follow me and give to the poor." No, you just went ahead on your own. You blew it. Well, I tell you what. Send Lazarus. I got some good buddies there, brothers, sisters. Send. He said, "Forget it." He said, "Don't you know they got the same thing that you had? And they're blowing it." You say, "Man alive, God talks tough." Well, how long can God stand to be insulted? Having fallen away, they can never repent because they crucify to themselves. Now, this is a second and different crucifixion. It's to themselves. They nail themselves to their own cross. And it's a cross of shame. And that's why John said, "I'm praying that you won't be ashamed in his presence." And he's here right now, Son of God, office of the Holy Spirit. And they crucify him to themselves afresh. And they're ashamed of his presence. I told you, there's a guy that I can get his writings anytime you want. I can get them. They're in Tucson or in my office. I find them somewhere. He wrote a beautiful treatise on the presence. He literally denies it today. Okay. Now, notice what he says. At this time, rain. Now, four tells you above what's above. Why is this above up there? It's a time of the latter rain and the former rain. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that come off upon it, bringeth forth earth meat for him who is dressed, receiving blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end to be burned. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. That is true. He's talking to the bride. He said it's going to happen, but he said you won't be a part of it. Now, what is this? What is this also? I'll tell you what it is. We don't have to guess about it. It's John 14 and 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. And it's also Luke 17, 30. The days of the Son of Man. Now, Hebrews 6 then, is John 14, 12, and Luke 17, 30 combined. And these three sets of scripture are exemplified in Luke 10. So let's look at it. 70 to 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Brother Branham said, Satan falling from heaven was the Jesus expressing the power the early church had, which was literally what we find in Hebrews here. Now notice in Hebrews here again, taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come. This happens in even greater measure in the last age than in the first age. The power of the church. And what happened? They blew it. This great possibility of the seventh age goes into Revelation 3, 14 to 18. Wretched, miserable, blind, naked, all the time thinking they got everything at their command. It goes into 2 Thessalonians 7 to 12, which is turning down the truth and believing the lie. Which goes to Revelation chapter 13, where they worship the beast. And that's what you are looking at in this age. And it's going to culminate exactly as the prophet said it, chaff to be burned, when they had the opportunity, they blew it. You say, just a minute. No, you just a minute. Me, and I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said concerning John the Baptist, if you had to believe, the kingdom of God was yours right now. Didn't believe. They blew it. They lost it. He said, Brother, I just don't know about that. You see, the thing is this, that this was to happen and that, and all God worked out. And I am not arguing the point. I'm just telling you, had they accepted, that would have happened. Had the Pentecostals accepted the true word, and remember, there's two groups of Pentecostals, the Trinity and the Oneness, and they both organized. And they both went completely off the word and organized and said, we can't go beyond this, this is it. And if anything comes, then bless God, it's going to come because of this. And William Branham came on the scene, and he came in spite of it. Because that's what God does. All right, we're going to continue reading now about this Pentecostal age that blew it. They couldn't wait. They had to manufacture something. They had to put a program to it. They couldn't wait for the Holy Spirit to take over. And how many amongst us who believe Brother Branham can't wait for God to just do it all, to just stand still and stay with the prophet? All right, now here's what happened to Pentecost. Brother Branham will now illustrate as he's in Springfield, Missouri, where the headquarters is for the Assemblies of God and their big Bible schools. I went into a place, two brethren, I went to a place across from Springfield, Missouri, the other morning for breakfast coming from Arizona. A little lady there, that Brother Wood called my attention to, that looked like our sister Collins, blonde with a big bunch of hair in the back. And he said, "Doesn't that look like Brother Willard Collins' wife?" And I said, "It does." And here comes an older lady out and said, "I imagine that's her mother. Look at that big bunch of hair." I said, "That's right here by the Assembly of God Church, the Assembly of God headquarters here. That's where, that's the reason they're like that." And a whole lot of little sisters sitting there with water head hair out like that, you know, the bushy bouffant. They were the students, little Rickies. All of them out there, you know, carrying on, all packing their Bibles under their arms. So we watched them till they all went out snickering, laughing, and carry on like modern kids. That's a crop of Pentecost coming on for tomorrow, if there is one. Why? 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 Because that's the seed that's been sown. That's exactly right. See, they're manifesting what they've been given. When she went out, all of them went out. This little lady came back and said, "Could I do anything for you all?" I said, "I'd like to ask a question." She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Like as a stranger, I thought she might know us." And I said, "Isn't that a Bible school across there?" And she said, "Yes, sir, it is." And I said, "I guess you get a whole lot of trade from there." Now, that was Brother Softman sitting there and Brother Bankwoods, two of the church trustees. She said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "I suppose you belong there?" She said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't." And I said, "The reason I thought that was because that pretty long hair you have. And I suppose that's your mother." She said, "No, sir, she just works here." She said, "I like long hair. I've got a little girl, and I just have her to wear her hair long, too." And said, "My husband likes long hair." And I said, "God bless him." I said, "Why, it's strange. Were those students in there, those girls with their hair, with the pushed-out hair like that, like the first lady? In other words, are they Bible students that have their bouffant hairdo?" And she said, "Yep." When we walked, I said, "Thank you." And we walked out, and I said, "God put that woman there for a rebuke to that bastard-born bunch of kids over there across the street." Now, if you read Romans, the 2nd chapter, 1-29, which we won't read today, you're going to find that when the heathen begin to do things without having the word or anything in their heart, they know by nature what the Christian is supposed to know from God. Then the Christian should act even better than that person in legitimate things that God wants them to do, like hair and clothes and all. And actually, these people then that by nature do those things become an absolute rebuke and a judgment against those who should be obeying the word of God, who do know it and will not obey it. You find it in there. It has to do with conscience. That's right, illegitimate, after the things of the world. How many women after Jezebel, the first lady of that land, how many of them do you think are in heaven tonight or today? Same thing, you see. They were following Jackie Kennedy and Roman Catholic woman, all these things. See, the things of the world, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. And what does he mean by that? It simply means if you prefer to be a mold in the world, to look like the world, instead of be molded the way God would want you to look, there's something radically wrong. Now look, you got to watch that, because that can go to the extremes. You got the Amish and the Mennonite, and the men wear those black hats and women wear those little hats on their heads. And I admire them because I know they invented God. I'm not too happy with believing them, but it's nice to know they invented God. Where was God before the crazy black hats and things? You see what happens to people? They'll use a dress code. That's it. They say, who needs a dress code? Like one woman so smart, she was a preacheress. I forget her name. She belonged to the Church of the Brethren. She's an outstanding preacheress. And so they begin talking about her clothes. She said, "I'll tell you what, I'll dress like Martha when you dress like George." Oh, clever. Left myself sick. Well, they got all the answers. They're all wrong. You don't have to look like George or look like Martha. You're supposed to look like what God said. 20th century, the prophet said. He didn't say go around looking like a weirdo. I don't know why women have to kick about certain things that are laid out by the word here. Because in this hour, you can actually put a bone in your nose. And hang tin cans on your ears. The world just, they don't give a rip. Then why should women give a rip and try to be like something that outside the word of God? Men the same thing. I think it's asinine. I never could figure. But then again, I'm not supposed to figure. That's true. There you are. What is that? The cream of tomorrow's crop in Pentecost. The biggest movement in this nation. There you are. That's the bride. I don't get it. In other words, if that's the bride, forget it. Now, Brother Branham, at the time he said this in 62, knew that the Pentecostal move was the last great move and would become greater as time went on. I'm sure that in a sense of the word, he knew in his heart what would happen in our day in South America, where literally hundreds of thousands are turning to Pentecost today, Pentecostal people. The Catholics are losing their priests and everything else. There's a tremendous Pentecostal grassroots move all around the world. Even the so-called mainstream fundamentalists have to report well concerning them. And they report well concerning the Assemblies of God especially, because they are the starchy, sanctified ones of the works. They're the ones with the program, everything else. All right, what's she trying to do? Oh, she manufactures a little jumping on the platform. Not making fun of it, it's all right. That's true, you see a lot of that. She manufactures something else. Why? To get members in the church. What's the matter? She just can't wait, see? She can't wait for God to do it. Now, he's talking about the authoritative power of the Holy Ghost in the church getting the job done. Now, let's keep reading. They've got to get members in there somewhere. I think maybe he meant somehow. They've got to go, I'll put it both ways. They've got to get members in there somewhere. In other words, everybody's duty bound now because we're the great ones to bring more and more and more and more. And it's got to be done. Hey, now, I don't care how it's done. Let's just get with it somehow and get it done. So they tell them, you have to do that. And away they go. See, there's the seed coming right up. You have got to do it. Now, let's just go to Matthew 22. Let's look at something here. First verse, and Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now notice, he sent forth servants in the plural to bid them to the wedding, and they wouldn't come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage. They made a light of it, you know, they just laughed about it, went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant, the other people, took his servants and treated them spitefully, and even killed some of them. And when the king heard thereof, he was very angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murders and burned up their city. Then he said to the servants, their wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go you therefore. Now he's telling the servants, that's plural, into the highway and byways, highways, and as many as you find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out to the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both good and bad, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now that's like casting the net, you know, with the bringing in the good fish and the bad fish. See, now watch, there's still a division there. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, Brother Branham took that right to this hour in his own meetings, eating in heavenly places. And the people come in, and they're not part of that bride. And he said, friend, how comest thou in thither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Didn't have the answer, see, to the questions, to the word. And the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot and cast him away. And cast him into, take him away and cast him under darkness. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now that's the great tribulation. Now I want you to go to Luke 14 with me. And we'll see something else in here that perhaps will give you an idea of what Brother Branham was talking about. In the 14th chapter of Luke, and the 22nd verse, you will notice here, the great supper. And he said to them, a certain man bad, that's verse 16, made a great supper and bad many, and sent his servant, singular, at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. And they with all one consent began to make excuse. And the first said, I bought a piece of ground. And the second said, I bought some oxen. The third said, I'm married. So that servant, singular, came, showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go up quickly in the streets and into the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I send you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now I want you to notice in here the two parables are different. In the one place there are a plurality of servants, and they simply make an invitation. But the other parable, there is one servant and he compels. So what you're looking at, in my estimation, this is not original with me, you have many messengers that give an invitation, but only the Holy Spirit can compel people. And so therefore, when we attempt to compel, and we attempt to bring people in on our own, rather than simply the truth of the Word of God and learn to lead things in His hands, we can have a mixed congregation. We'll have it anyway, but we're talking now of the grander picture here of the bride. We're seeing that we're opening up the church to all these things that Brother Branham warns against. Now listen, let's go a little further now. He said, I'm a missionary. I've seen the Africans take blood of an animal, pour it over themselves like this. Stark naked men and women. Put paint on their faces. That's where that came from. Paint came from the heat, from a heathen trade. Not for us human beings, Christians, believers. Never was. Wasn't only one woman in all the Bible ever painted herself, and she was Jezebel the devil. And the Bible says she painted her eyes. So that's very bad. So then they put paint on their faces, big long things in their ears like blocks of wood. That's the Zulus. It is a block of wood, makes the flesh of the ears hang way down there. Sometimes split their lips and put them way out. They think it makes them look beautiful. Put over their breasts and down their legs and things blood. And then take and make stripes like a zebra. And shout. Dance in the spirit. Speak in tongues and worship devils. And they call that evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've been right there in India when they had the firewalkers and everything else, and know it's the truth. Great big idol there with rubies in his ears for earrings and things like that. And they've put tormenting things like sticking things through their flesh and beat themselves and sew their lips up if they've lied. And doing penance and run a saber through their lips here or through their chin up through their nose and stick out like that. We've seen that in pictures. Take big fish hooks like Christmas tree balls, you know, decoration on a Christmas tree. Fill it full of water and hook thousands of over their body, right through the flesh. Actually, they even pull a cart with those fish hook things in their skin, in their body. I've seen that on record and video cassettes. You see them do it. You can actually go to India and see it yourself, and different places in the world. And go over there and dance. In other words, right on those terribly hot bed of coals that have been burning for days. Even to get near it just singe your eyebrows. You wouldn't want to get too close. It's terribly hot. My. And they dance around this idol like that and kill a goat and do worship like that and walk right through those red hot coals without a scorch. Some of you Pentecostals try it. See? But he said it was done, firewalking, by the three Hebrew children, but they never tempted the Lord their God. They were just thrown into it. So what did Brother Branham think of all that stuff? Shelley going around now telling that big fat... Well, I'm not against fat ladies. The fact is she was very corpulent, and she was bouncing around in the church with her eyes closed, I guess, and she had this hot stove, a great big hot stove she sits on, and nobody smells anything scorching. And the next thing she does, supposed to, I wasn't there, so I'm not going to call the guy a liar, but it could happen, I don't know. Then she takes the hot coals up and puts it on his Bible, and that's something the Bible doesn't burn. That's some great big thing. You're supposed to then say, hey, well, that's fine, but watch me take over. Ha! Who are you trying to kid? Give me the Bible on that stuff.
Oh, brother, I don't need the Bible. He hit it.
You ever hear of the Spirit of God anointing everybody and anybody? So that Judas raises the dead? Why do you want to mix the Word of God up? Why can't, see, these people want to add. A bunch of Branhamites are doing the same thing. They're running to this guy. They run everywhere. All Perry Green's got to do, talk about, oh, he's got to get the discernment. Hogwash. They discern wrong. One mistake shows you ain't got it. Counterfeit. The first evidence of the false anointed is attempting to discern. This guy's idea, well, he said Brother Branham didn't say you couldn't do it. I thought, I heard him say that. I don't know where this guy came from. All right, now listen. Some of you Pentecostals try. Now let me go to Leviticus 18 and 21. Genesis, Leviticus 18 and 21. Now, here we are. He's telling you all the things you better not do. And in verse 21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Now, you say the word fire is interpreted, yeah, because he was that god that they worshiped that way. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. So, now we know that's the truth. Israel could not offer their children or do fire dances and things. It's against the word. If this is against the word, how can the Holy Spirit come down then now, break his own word? I just asked the question. I can't receive it. I'm live, die, sink, or swim, died in the wool. What I see in this hour, that I receive and accept. And God knows I don't even accept that enough. So why should I accept the other stuff that I walked away from? All right? The Hebrew children were just thrown into the fiery furnace. They didn't manufacture, they didn't ask, they didn't try to do it. They didn't try to manufacture something. That's what's the matter with the Pentecostals today. They're manufacturing something. They can't wait. Oh, God, they just can't wait, so they commit adultery. Amen. See, that's like you're taking the sex act there primarily the same as Eve did, you see. She blew it. Amen. Tears to manufacture something, and what does it bring forth? Just like it did the first time, the first bride, they could not wait. Okay. That takes you back, as we did this many times, because there's certain scripture Brother Branham used and I use, we all use more than others. And you go to James 5 again. And it tells you in James 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, a husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. It tells you right there. It tells you right there at the time, at the end time. You've got to become very patient. The greatest earmark that you can exhibit at this time is your patience. Your patience concerning this end time. Now, you go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse, and saying, where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Now remember that Brother Branham is the last of the fathers. He's fallen asleep. Now what about this great presence? Well, as I told you, people that preached it have quit preaching it. Just a doctrine like serpent seed. Hear what that's saying? Like that's like saying, you take a caricatured picture of me that somebody quickly did with a pen. And I'm dead and gone. You say, well, that's Lee Dale. No, that's just a character. No, that's it. In other words, you accept something as though that is the reality. And when you turn down the literality of Jesus Christ, in other words, I'm saying, listen, what is real to them now, if that isn't real, if His presence isn't real, because the pillar of fire is going to take us to the millennium, then what is real with these people? I'd like to know. Not that I want to embrace it. I'm just a little anxious to know. See? Where's the promise? See? What is it all about? They can't even quote Brother Branham anymore because it turns people away. Hey, that's the reason to quote him. Come on. She brought forth death. No, she brought death through a bastard-born child, which we are all the children of. Now, what does he mean? The Bible tells you in Genesis 3:20, Eve is the mother of all living. It doesn't say Adam's the father of all living. It just says Eve's the mother. Now, God came in the flesh to give us another birth to bring us back to original sons and daughters of God. Well, in other words, we should have been born a certain way the first time. Now we have to get born again another way. That's what Nicodemus said. Shall a man enter his mother's womb, be born the second time? He said, no, that's taken care of. You don't go back to that one. You need another one. And that's the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which Brother Branham said, now is commensurate, even though you're still tempted and you got your problems, is commensurate as though you came in the form that was truly commensurate with your soul, which came from God. See, we never had a body truly commensurate. No. If we had a body, like Brother Branham said, we'd remember everything. Then we'd have a perfect comparison. And the comparison would be like a little kid now, and there's an orange lollipop, and here's a red lollipop, great big lollipops, and the kid, oh, that orange, and the strawberry, or cherry, and he can't make up his mind. So he can't make up his mind. Well, you see, if you'd have had a member, now one little kid said, well, I'm going to take orange because I can't stand cherry and strawberry. Why? Because I've had a previous experience. Other kids say, I'm going to take the strawberry because orange has all been a bit sour. Previous experience. Well, if you and I had previous experience way back there, we wouldn't have one bit of trouble turning down anything here. No. So you lost that. You couldn't have that. I couldn't have that. With the baptism with the Holy Ghost, that new birth, now you have the Spirit, as Paul said, interceding. You have the mind of the Lord with the revealed word. And now within the soul remains only one thing, the power of choice. Pro-word versus word. See? So the rebirth really puts us where God wants us to be and guarantees even the resurrection where we're going to come forth. Now, not she brought death through a bastard-born child, which we are all the children of, all the children of Eve. God came in the flesh to give us another birth to bring us back to original sons and daughters of God. See, there you are. Now, he uses the term, the right sperm of Eve never happened. Now, a woman doesn't have sperm. She's got ova. The word could be sperma or spora. In 1 Peter, it's spora, like a flower, not sperma as in the animal kingdom. But what I look at is this way. Eve had the perfect potential, and she blew it. In other words, if he's saying she had the right, never mind word sperm, ova, anything, just ignore the word. See? In other words, the right one coming through Eve never happened, never did. What caused this where Eve could not bring forth that one? She mingled it kept it away. In other words, like Brother Branham said, she should have brought forth that word seed, which was Christ. Instead of Adam coming to her for a bride when the time was appointed would be, just like Christ would have come to the group, Christ would have to come to his church. He promised to do it. God promised to multiply, but they had to wait until God's time. Now here again is what you're looking at. Brother Branham made a great point of the people could not wait for the prophet. That's in another section. All right, what's the matter today? Now, Brother Branham talks about Eve again down below here. That's what's the matter today. They don't want to wait God's time. They want to get something else, and so the devil's got the wisdom right there and gave it to them. Make an organization. Be bigger than the rest of them. Now, what is the danger today with the Branhamites? Brother Branham put Pentecost, and it's the truth, latter ain't all the bunch from which we came out, although most of you here this morning did not have a thing to do with that, but this is the age. Now, Brother Branham said when a rabbit gets out of a pen, he starts looking for the same hole to get back. Now, what is happening to many people today who say they believe Brother Branham? They do not understand church order. To them, church order has to do with gifts, and Brother Branham never said the gifts were ever taken away to the point of extinction. He said, on the shelf, as it were. He did tell me the age of gifts was over, and I asked him point blank because I was involved in a certain type of ministry at that time. All right, what are they doing? They're going right back to a pseudo-ministry of Brother Branham's based upon manifestation of which they're looking for, especially discernment and gifts. And I'm telling you, people, they'll just run anywhere for gifts. And not one to my knowledge can tell me, Brother Vail, we have a person in our church who is standing guard who has the gift of discerning of spirits. And Brother Branham said, unless you have that, the rest are inoperable. It's the same thing. If you've got your car completely loaded, but you threw away the key whereby you turn the ignition, forget it. The key for the ignition is that discerning the spirits. I wish I knew more about it, but I should tell you honest. I am not going to wager it. I'm not going to presume and try to go on ground that I know I'm not qualified for. As I said, I prophesied different times, came right to pass. I'm going to tell you something about it. You don't even know when you're really going to do it. If you think you can come and really perform something, you may get away for a while. And the next time you'll end up a complete boo-boo with egg all over your face. Brother Branham said, you may prophesy one time and never again. You may do one thing one time, never again. Everybody doesn't pray for the sick. You must stay with the word. I know you people here are trying very hard. I don't have any trouble with gifts. My big worry would be, is there something we're missing? I don't know that there is. At this point, I don't know. I'm satisfied with the word. Brother Branham said, why would you change the word for gifts which are not dependable, where this word is dependable? This word guarantees you the first resurrection, the standing in God. You could use gifts and be condemned with them. You could be a Judas. I wouldn't want that. That's the matter today. They don't want to wait God's time. They want to get something else. And so the devil's got the wisdom. He's smart right there, and he gives it to them. Make an organization. Be bigger than the rest of them. Now, this lines with end-time evangelism, where Brother Bose was going to Africa, and Brother Branham preached, this is what you take there. He never took it there. He took his own Trinitarian idea. Hey, anybody get saved? Hey, anybody can get saved? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all out there, millions. Millions come to God. Millions, and millions now living will never die. That's a lie. Billions living are going to die.
Right. Yeah.
They're already dead. Their obituary reads, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, ready for the burning. I don't know. It's the obituary is already read. Go to Matthew. Go to any part of your Bible you want to see that, Revelation. Now do you see why I'm against it? Against what? The church not waiting for God to reveal himself, his word, what he wants done, and how he wants to do it. If God in you willing and doing of his good pleasure is scripture, what is man trying to twist God's arm for? The very things we have are at his disposal. People seem to think, oh, hey, I go to work and I get some money. Bless God, that's mine. I can spend what I want. That's true. But when you go to God, you're not earning something. You're getting something free. Now, what are you going to do with it? And the thing that's free is put in trust in you. That's why gifts are so wrong when they're not right. Brother Branham, hey, listen, I'm not going to worry about this church and gifts. Brother Branham wanted his own church to have them. They turned it down flat. I don't see any example anywhere that Brother Branham said, putting the church in order. He wanted me to help in Louisville. They sold the building. He wanted me to go to Bose's old church up there in Chicago, and I can prove it. I'm not lying to you. I went up there, and I knew there's no dice. You couldn't give me that church, because I knew they wouldn't give it anyway. I was operating gifts in those days. And people knew about Lee Vale up there all around the country. So the people began crowding in. Oh, they got hungry for a church marriage. Oh, Brother Bill, you must stay another week. And I said, I'm very sorry. I've made arrangements to leave Monday. I'd phone my friend and say, hey, Roy, could you use me? Sure, Lee, come on over. That's all I needed. You think I'd stick around there? Come on, I wasn't born yesterday. I may act as stupid, but once in a while God gives me insight, I pulled out. They'd had a church with gifts in order. Brother Branham would have come up. What am I supposed to do? It's over. I'm not sticking my neck out. If God wants to do something, I'll tell you. You don't think he's big enough? Right. Who kept me unconscious for one solid hour driving a car? Not one scratch on me. You answer that one. Go ahead. You tell me how it's done. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm trusting him. If there's anything, he's going to help me. Right now, I stick to the word. And if I'm a little fearful of things, it doesn't mean I have no faith. It just means I'm not going to be presumptuous. The prophet and I never got together in any church. The church ordered for gifts. I'm sorry. He never left me instructions. All he said when I said, Brother Branham, is that maybe it's a gifts. Age is over. They don't seem to be operating my life anymore. He said, that's right, Lee. The age is over. Now, do you see why I'm against it? Sure, I'm against it. With everything that's in me, getting off that word, to creeds and dogmas and organizing. As long as the word's in there, see, it'll always be against it. God's against it. God said he was. That's right. Just couldn't wait. In other words, he's talking about Eve. Again, he says, so the sperm of Eve never happened. In other words, the potential, the life that she could have borne never happened. What happened? A hybrid seed came forth. Hybridized to Satan's lie. His lovely bride became polluted. And so is Christ's bride, the bride. What made her become polluted? Adam's bride now. She never stayed with God's word. Is that right? I ask. Now, if it's not so, don't say it. But if it's so, say it. The reason that Adam's bride... There's the three, Adam, Christ, God. The reason that Adam's bride never did bear the right life child. See, there he is, what he calls that sperm. Her potential, the right life child, is because she disbelieved God's word. If that's right, say amen. The reason that Jehovah's wife was put away, or his bride, was because she rejected God's word, the prophet. That's right. He's the word of God manifested. In other words, he's the manifestation that proves that God has a word, and that's it coming. Amen. Is that right? The reason that Christ's bride is put away in divorcement is because she has rejected the word of God like Eve did, like the rest of them, exactly all whores, all polluted. Their husband couldn't get to them. They were already pregnant before the husband got to them. Now, that's in every single age. Now, how much time you got? 4 minutes. Well, we can quit right there, but here's the point we're looking at in Matthew 25, It said at midnight the cry came, the virgins went forth to meet the bridegroom. Everybody said, hey, he's coming, this is great, we're all getting ready now, there's going to be catching away, resurrection, everything else. And then it said at midnight the cry came, behold the bridegroom. Doesn't say cometh, it says behold the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Now, at that particular time, you will notice that they did not link up with him. Only five, a certain number, got to him. Then afterward, when the rest wanted to come, they were divorced. So during this time of the appearing, behold the bridegroom, the great invitation, there is a divorce. Now, what is wrong? Well, Brother Branham said, tells us that. The bride, her mind is a womb, and she's pregnant with the word of Almighty God, and no other seed can get to it at this particular time. But at this particular time, the five foolish, another seed gets there. They're divorced. What seed is it? Organizational. Denominational. So it depends what we are in the Word today, whether we are going to be in that wedding supper. You just better believe it, because that's the Bible. And there's nobody can change the Word of God. Let's rise and be dismissed. We've got Wednesday service now again at 7:30. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your time of fellowship we had around your Word here, that we can read what the prophet said and carefully look into it, so that we know every step of the way how that at this time he's warning us, particularly if we got nothing else from the Word, Lord, that we must never change this Word that has been revealed to us by vindication. And then, Lord, if we know that it is the same Word that Paul brought, vindicated, we know because of Paul's Word, in us that believe, we are past the judgment, and we will meet you, dear Lord Jesus, at the wedding supper in the air, when even that Spirit, the Spirit of God, will take us up there and become incarnate to us, to crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now we know that maybe at this particular time we're a little bit like those on the road to Emmaus. We know the truth of it. We know the reality. We're banking on this as the truth, and we have received it as such. And now, by your grace, we are not going to be stampeded to believe anything else or to attempt to make this Word live and grow in us, except on the grounds of having received it as it is indeed the Word of truth, neither adding to it or taking from it, but continuing to believe it and look at it, so that more and more will become known to us if there is more in this message and other messages made known. And if we've come to the place where the Word is now clear, and we know the doctrine, and we know what is set forth here, that this is it. We've come to that understanding. Then, Lord, by your grace, we know that there will be a phase of depth set in, so that the revelation is of such intensity and knowledge that we are no longer adding to it in any way as though we needed to add to it as per the knowledge, but it is expanding and growing in us and adding to us in that life. And we are passing more and more in and through the judgment unto eternal life. And they in the graves not made perfect without us, but we also being made perfect through this end time revealed Word, waiting now for them to come forth and we to come forth with them and ascend to the marriage supper, the great communion in the skies. This is all we need, Lord, and all we ask for. As the songwriter said, just a closer walk with thee. And we say, just a deeper communion and fellowship in your word, Lord, and such love and abandonment to it that it doesn't matter, live, die, sink, or swim, we mean it. We're depending on it. We know in whom we have believed. We know the power of this word, the power of the world to come. We know these things, and we enjoy them, and they're going to bring forth fruit unto eternal life. And though we do not relish any thought of anybody or anything burning, Lord, we have nothing to do with that. We're only eternally grateful. May we become even increasingly grateful, more filled with the understanding of what it is to be chosen, and to know that that choosing was of you and we're part of it. We're word people. Word becoming word, flesh becoming word. Until, Lord, we're walking right over into that glorious land of promises. The prophet said, when the dead come out of the grave, we see them, we'll recognize them. A sweep going over, will be changed, the apostle said, in a moment, twinkling of an eye. The corruptible putting on incorruption, the mortal immortality. And we say it, Brother Branham, we know it's true, but we count ourselves to be bride. But Lord, if perchance we are not, we know there's a bride out there somewhere. There's got to be. And by your grace, Lord, we won't stand in her way. But by your grace, Lord, we believe we're standing with you. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we are coming to it, to its fullness. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.